Ever get that feeling? You know that feeling? Like the future is right around the corner, closer than we think.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, today we're diving into a world where that's literally true. Nanotechnology. We're talking about manipulating matter at sizes so small, it's almost impossible to imagine. Like, imagine a single strand of your hair.
Okay.
That's pretty thin, right?
Yeah.
Now, imagine something so small that it makes that hair look like a giant redwood tree.
Wow, that's hard to even picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with here, a billionth of a meter. That's the nanoscale. We're talking about the realm of atoms and molecules.
The quantum realm where all the rules change, it's pretty mind-blowing stuff.
It really is. And you know, it's even more mind-blowing. It's not just science fiction anymore. We've got some seriously fascinating research here, excerpts from Science Direct, a crash course from Wikipedia, and this really thought-provoking analysis in ACS Nano. And they all agree. Nanotechnology is already changing the world in some pretty big ways.
Bigger than most people realize, I'd bet.
So how? How can something so small have such a huge impact?
Well, think of it this way. Imagine you're building something, anything, out of blocks. Let's say a sandcastle.
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
The more individual grains of sand you have to work with, the more surface area you have, right?
Right. More grains, more surface to build on.
That's the key. Nanotechnology is all about taking advantage of that surface area. These materials, they're so incredibly tiny that you end up with a mind-boggling amount of surface area packed into a tiny, tiny space. And that's where the real magic happens.
So it's not just about size, it's about how much you can pack into that size. But okay, I get that it's a lot of surface area, but what does that actually do? Why should I care if something is nano or not?
Because when you shrink things down to that size, things get weird in a good way. Seriously, the properties of materials, their physical, chemical, even their biological properties, they change dramatically at the nanoscale.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me an example.
Well, take something as simple as gold. You know, gold, it's shiny, it's valuable, it's a pretty inert metal.
Yeah, I've held a gold bar or two in my day.
Sure. But shrink that gold down to the nanoscale, and suddenly it's not so inert anymore. Gold nanoparticles, they can actually act as catalysts, speeding up chemical reactions. They can even be used in medical treatments, targeting specific cells in the body.
So it's like we're almost dealing with an entirely different material. It's not gold as we know it.
Exactly. And that's just one example. The possibilities are pretty much endless when you start manipulating matter at this scale.
Okay, so we're not just splitting hairs here. We're working with entirely different building blocks. And speaking of building blocks, I noticed our sources mention these things called dimensions in nanotechnology. What's that all about? It's not just about how small something is, it's also about the shape it takes at that scale, right?
You got it. When we talk about the dimensions of nanotechnology, we're talking about how these nanomaterials are structured. Think of it like this. Imagine a single nanoparticle as a tiny sphere. That's what we call zero dimensional or zero D. Now, stretch that sphere out into a super thin wire or tube, and you've got a one-dimensional or 1D nanostructure.
Okay, so 0D is like a tiny ball, and 1D is like a nanowire.
Got it. Exactly. And to round it out, picture those wires flattened into incredibly thin sheets, almost like a single layer of atoms. That's two-dimensional or 2D nanotechnology. Graphene, which you might have heard of, is a great example of a 2D nanomaterial.
So you've got your nanospheres, nanowires, and nanosheets, each with its own unique set of properties and potential applications.
It's like having a toolkit with microscopic screwdrivers, wrenches, and hammers all ready to tackle problems at the atomic level.
A toolkit for the future.
Yeah.
So we've got a tiny toolkits, all these amazing nanomaterials, but how are they actually being used to, make the world a better place?
That's the exciting part. It's not just about theory and lab experiments anymore. Nanotechnology is already making its mark on some of the biggest challenges we face as a global community.
You're talking about the UN Sustainable Development Goals, right?
Yeah.
Those were mentioned a lot in our source material.
Exactly. We're talking about things like ending poverty, tackling climate change, ensuring access to clean water for everyone. And believe it or not, nanotechnology has the potential to play a huge role in achieving these goals.
Okay, I'll admit that sounds a little hard to believe. How can something so small have such a big impact on these massive global issues?
It's all about those unique properties we were talking about earlier. Take, for example, goal number one, ending poverty. It might seem a million miles away from nanotechnology, but it's more connected than you might think.
Okay, I'm listening. Connect the dots for me.
That article from Science Direct, It highlighted how even something as simple as clean water can be a game changer in the fight against poverty. And nanotechnology is revolutionizing water purification.
Oh, yeah. Those water filters using silver nanoparticles, that was pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Imagine something as simple and affordable as a water filter, providing safe drinking water in communities where it's desperately needed.
It's like such a basic necessity, but it can make or break a community.
It really can. And it's not just about the immediate impact. Providing clean water, it leads to better health, fewer illnesses, lower medical costs. And when people are healthier, they're able to work, contribute to the economy, lift themselves out of poverty. It creates this ripple effect that spreads far beyond a single glass of water.
It's true. Those ripple effects can be incredibly powerful. And speaking of powerful, our sources also mentioned some pretty big numbers when it comes to the economic potential of nanotechnology.
Oh, absolutely. And that brings us to goal number 8, decent work and economic growth. The global nanotechnology market, it's booming.
Yeah, I think I remember reading that it's projected to be worth hundreds of billions of dollars within just a few years. Is that right?
Hundreds of billions, that's right. By 2025, we're talking about $306.1 billion, to be precise. And that number, it just keeps climbing.
That's billion, with a B. Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot of zeros. But it's more than just the money, isn't it? It's about what that kind of growth represents.
Exactly. It's about new industries emerging, new technologies being developed, and crucially, it's about new jobs being created. And not just any jobs, high-paying jobs in research and manufacturing and healthcare, energy, pretty much every sector you can think of.
It's like the gold rush of the 21st century, but instead of digging for gold, we're delving into the atom.
That's a great analogy. And the best part is, this gold rush is open to everyone. It's a global phenomenon with innovation happening all over the world.
So we've got clean water, economic growth, all these positive impacts.
Hmm.
But I had to ask, what about the environment? Can something that's so powerful also be sustainable?
Absolutely. In fact, nanotechnology might just be one of our most powerful tools in the fight against climate change and environmental degradation. Let's take goal number 6 as an example. Clean water and sanitation. We've already talked about water purification, but nanotechnology goes way beyond just filters.
Really? Like what else can it do?
Well, how about controlling the weather?
Wait, hold on a second. Controlling the weather. You have to elaborate on that one.
It sounds crazy, but our sources, they mentioned some really interesting research being done on using nanomaterials for cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding, like making it rain using nanotechnology.
Exactly.
I'll admit, that's one I did not see coming.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's becoming a reality. Imagine a future where we can use this technology to address droughts, replenish water supplies in water-scarce areas, maybe even prevent natural disasters like floods. It's a real game changer.
Wow. Okay, that's officially blown my mind. But with all this talk of controlling the weather and creating entirely new materials, I have to ask, are there any risks involved with nanotechnology?
Mm.
What about the potential downsides? So we've seen the incredible potential of nanotechnology, cleaning our water, boosting the economy, maybe even conjuring rain clouds. But with great power, you know what they say.
Comes great responsibility.
Exactly. What are the potential downsides we need to be aware of as we, you know, as we venture deeper into this nano world?
It's a crucial question. Like any powerful tool, nanotechnology has to be handled with care. Our sources, especially those excerpts from ACS Nano, they really emphasize this need to proceed with caution. We need to understand the potential long-term effects of these materials, both on human health and the environment.
Right, because we're talking about manipulating matter at the atomic level. It's not like we're just tweaking existing materials. We're creating entirely new ones, ones that have never existed before.
Exactly. And with that comes a huge responsibility. It's like introducing a new species into an ecosystem. You have to be very careful. You don't want to disrupt the delicate balance of things. So rigorous testing is crucial. And transparent research, we need to know what's going on, both the good and the bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the science itself, right? There are ethical considerations too. That ACS Nano article, they really dug into this idea of circular knowledge translation, where it's not just scientists working in isolation. It's policymakers, industry leaders, even the public. Everyone needs to be involved in shaping how this technology develops.
100%. It has to be a collaborative effort. And the goal, the ultimate goal, should be to make sure that this technology benefits everyone, not just a select few. That means ensuring equitable access to these innovations, regardless of where you live or your economic status. It also means having open and honest conversations about the potential societal impacts of nanotechnology, making sure everyone's voice is heard.
So it's not just about what we can do with nanotechnology, but what we should do. It's about using this incredible tool to create a more just, equitable, and sustainable future for all.
Exactly. And that brings us back to you, the listener. We've given you a glimpse into this incredible world of nanoscale innovation, but the exploration doesn't have to stop here.
It's true. As you go about your day, take a look around, think about the products you use, the challenges we face as a society, and ask yourself, where does nanotechnology fit into all of this? Is it already playing a role? Maybe in ways you hadn't even considered.
It's a question worth pondering because this technology, it's not some distant future anymore. It's here now, and it's only going to become more prevalent in our lives.
That's a really good point. It's up to all of us to be informed and engaged as we navigate this nano future together. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of nanotechnology. We hope you learned something new today, and who knows, maybe this even sparks some ideas for how you can be a part of this nanotechnology revolution.